Today on Real Radio.
It's this experiential-based faith that has brought forth the seeker movement or the emergent church movement. The declarations that are being said today. Whatever God said in the old is done away with. God has a new opinion in our modern enlightened age. That's being taught in churches from sea to shining sea.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament account. We're in the final chapter of this historical narrative, chapter 24. Which includes text that demonstrates the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation taken from this section about renewed hope that is beyond description. It's called, With Hearts on Fire.
Is Jesus, the Bible say, our high priest? Does not the Bible say, Book of Hebrews and other places, that Jesus would present his blood on the altar before the throne of God forever and eternity? Yes. By the way, that's how secure your salvation is. It's secured in heaven. He put his blood on the altar in heaven. Hallelujah. Where moth and rust and thieves do not break in and steal. Check it out. Jesus said, hey, handle me and see. I've got flesh and I've got bone. What about the blood part? Oh, you can put your fingers in the holes in my hands. He was not bleeding. His blood is before the altar of God right now. That ought to freak you out for the entire rest of the day. Think about that. His blood is on the altar in heaven. Read Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. Secondly, it's this. With hearts on fire, verses 41 to 45, experience and reality unite. Experience and reality unite. Number one, it unites this way in verse 41, uniting heart and mind. When I say experience and reality, your life, what you're living, reality being the truth, they are to come together united. If we are going to be real Christians, we cannot, as the saying goes, check your brains out at the door and then come into church. Oh no. I love the fact that yesteryear Christianity, all the way back, in fact, go all the way back to Genesis. I believe that a believer in God and a Christian should be the most profound citizen, incredibly gifted. I believe that the Christian should be a person that is energized because what drives us is a greater cause. I don't think there should be anything lukewarm about our lives. It's not representative of who our God is. That's why the Bible says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Are you an artist? Then do it to the glory of God. Michelangelo was big on that. Rembrandt. Years ago, our team was at the Hermitage in Russia, and there's a famous painting of Rembrandt. Look at this. It's like this. Jesus is on the cross and he's looking right out of the painting. He's looking at you. And he's nailed to the cross, and Rembrandt is coming in the other way with his Rembrandt clothes on and a hammer, and he's hammering the nails into the hands of Jesus. Rembrandt believed that it was his sins who put Jesus on the cross. I think the same thing. Experience. Life, in reality, united in heart and mind. Verse 41 says while they were there, still they did not believe for joy, meaning they were completely blown away, and marveled. The word marveled is admiring. Jesus was standing there, and for a moment, the word implies that the logic of their brain was this. Is this real? Is this moment real? And they were completely, for joy, overwhelmed. And Jesus, it's imagine, how do you break that moment? And how do you change that? Do you pull out smelling salts? Do you clap? They're frozen. This is what Jesus does. Church, this is awesome. Verse 41, Jesus says, have you any food? Is this not cute? And so they gave him a piece of fish, broiled fish, open flame fish, and honeycomb. I looked that up. That's Wahoo, fish tacos right there. And it's biblical. Look, he took and he ate it in their presence. They handed him a fish taco. He bites it. He just appeared to them supernaturally, but he's got holes in his hands and his feet. He eats this. In some way, it communicates to them, oh, this is for real. This is for real. Isn't this amazing? I think it's very cool. Why is the Bible telling us this? That, and it's not the only time, mind you. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, remember last week, the Emmaus Road, he sat down at the table with them, and he broke the bread, and then they recognized him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 21, after the resurrection, verses 9 and 10, that Jesus was on the shore while they were fishing, and he had a barbecue going with fish and bread, fish tacos. And he said, hey, bring your fish over here. Potluck! I got my fish, I got my bread. You bring your fish, hey, we'll have a great time together. What is this? Isn't it interesting that in heaven, the Bible says you and I will be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. How bizarre is this? What will food taste like in heaven? Who knows? But it's apparently a big deal. Jesus, in some way, shape, or form, it communicates to them, he's eating in front of us, he's for real. It begins to assemble these things that we're not just following some dream. The experience, the reality in heart and in mind is this, that what we have truly believed is fact. We are not today, nor were they then, following some ridiculous man-made concoction of some Middle Eastern religion. This was the fulfillment, as we'll see in a moment, of God's eternal word. Also this, verse 44, uniting the past and the present. This is glorious to me. Jesus said to them, notice in the courtroom of opinion where doubt is present, watch how Jesus combats their bewilderment. He says to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. That's a reference before he died. Before I went to the cross, remember what I said? And here's what it was. All things must be fulfilled which were written in, number one, the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible. Number two, the prophets, all of them. Three, the Psalms, all of them. You know what Jesus just said? Contrary to people today who are belittling, attacking, they've always been around, they're always going to be around. You can't trust the Bible, you can't rely upon the Word of God, blah, 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 what a joke. Jesus says, it's all concerning me. The Bible, from Moses, his first writing, Genesis 1:1, all the way through to the end of Malachi, it's me. Who are we to criticize? Him. We can try, wasting our time. Well, you know, you can't believe in all the scriptures. Jesus said the scriptures, and he makes note of them. The Old Testament, intact during his day. Jesus says, believe them. Remarkable. Bringing the past to the present. That's what the Word of God does. Obviously, equipping us for the future. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, that foundation is so true, we can look to our future. Jesus says, the scripture says, I am of your brethren, the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I don't want to belabor this, but guess what? People hear the word prophecy and they want to panic. Don't panic. The first prophetic eschatological doctrine of the Bible that's prophetic is the doctrine of your salvation. It's not the 10 toes on Daniel's statue and what does this mean and that mean. The first prophetic utterance of God's word was spoken by God himself, mind you, to Satan in the Garden of Eden when he said, you will be at war with the offspring of the woman, but he will crush your head. A reference to Jesus triumphant over Satan's work at the cross. Wow. Amazing. And so, mark this. Uniting experience and reality. And he opened, verse 45, their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is tremendous. A little bit about experience and reality and having this united in the Word of God, and for us as being Christians, being reasonable, logical, smart, we know what we believe kind of Christians. Check this out. Experience. We live in a dangerous time right now because people talk so much about experience. We live in a terrible age, you guys. I just found out yesterday that I sent an email to three people. Somebody sent me an email, and they said, I don't understand something. I heard this about this guy. Do you guys know him out on the West Coast? If anybody knows him, let me know. So I said, hey, you guys, I don't know him. Maybe you know him. So I sent the email to my buddies. They wound up copying it to other people. By the time I got word of it yesterday, you should hear all this stuff I said on the email. I didn't even write it. But you and I live in that age. It's absolutely awesome. It's insane. Nothing has to be true anymore. And what is true, you may never find out. He said, she said, even pictures. How many times do you get an image of an eagle flying over something and it's like, that looks kind of odd to me. Then you find out it's a total hoax. It's a Photoshop thing where this eagle is picking up, you know, California and dropping it in the ocean or something. I mean, it's like, what is that? Oh, you know what? I felt it. I had a feeling. It must be real. Danger, danger, danger. Experiential Christianity only will destroy your life. Experiential faith will destroy your life. It must be based upon reality. Reality found in Scripture. It's this experiential based faith that has brought forth the seeker movement or the emergent church movement. The declarations that are being said today. Whatever God said in the old is done away with. God has a new opinion in our modern enlightened age. That's being taught in churches from sea to shining sea. You don't need to believe that part of the Bible. You only need to believe this part of the Bible. You guys, you may not know this because you're in a Bible-teaching church. That is a big problem out there. Oh, you guys don't believe in that, do you? And now the big thing is it's advanced to Jesus isn't coming back. Haven't you read that? Don't you know that? All the big people don't believe that. All the who big people what? It's amazing. Be careful. It's got to be rooted in reality. Number three, we'll wrap it up with this. Third point, verses 46 to 48. Our hearts are on fire as theirs because fact and mission is the result. Facts produce a mission. Come on. It's a fact. Results in our life's foundation. This way. Verse 36. Then he said to them, thus it is written. I like that. Why do you believe what you believe? Thus it is written. Do you see all of a sudden, you guys, it pits the critic against the Word of God. Come on. None of us are experienced enough, nor can we be, to defend the Word of God. The Word of God defends itself. We just need to know how to present it, to use it. Just state it. Don't make it up. Say it. We don't have to tiptoe around with the Word of God. Thus it is written, says Jesus, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to be raised from the dead the third day. You know what I thought about that for a moment? He said, that's biblical. You know how Jesus said, church, are you with me? You're real quiet. Are you here? You know how Jesus said, before I come back, because they asked, when are you coming back? And he said, I'll tell you when. There's going to be a lot of deceivers. That will be one of the indicators. And they're going to say that they are the Christ, and they're going to deceive a lot of people. Think about that for a second. Did not he just say a moment ago, look at the holes in my feet, in my hands. If a Messiah shows up, if somebody says, for example, Islam is waiting for the Mahdi to come and rescue them, the Messiah. Okay, show me your hands and your feet. If somebody walks in the doors and says, I'm the Messiah. Really? What's your name? My name's Jesus. Really? Show us your hands and your feet. Huh? They got to have holes in them. I'm not joking. True story. I grew up at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Pastor Romaine, anybody remember him? Used to be Chuck Smith's assistant. He's with Jesus now. The phone there rings constantly. So the phone's ringing, ringing, ringing. Some guy walks in and he says, I'm Moses. I am Moses. And only, this is brilliant. They don't teach this in Bible school. They should. Romaine said, you're Moses? And he said, I am Moses. And he said, oh, wow. And the phone's ringing, ringing, ringing. He walks over and Pastor Romaine picks up the phone. He says, hello? Yes. He's right here. Where? To the desert, Barstow, Bakersfield, beyond, Blythe. Got it. I'll tell him right now. Thanks. Bye. That was Elijah. He just called and said he wants to see you in the desert. Hurry, go. And then he goes, thank you. And the guy takes off. Is that not great? You don't get that in Pastor 101 class. If a Messiah shows up, ask him, hey, show me your hands and your feet. That was extra. I threw that in. Fact and mission. Jesus rose from the dead. This is very critical because we have a mission that results in an important thing. Number one, or I should say this, number two, is that the results are our life's purpose. Please hear this. 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Amazing. The word repent or repentance is metanoia. Change your mind. Change your mind, Jesus said. By the way, it's the first word of the gospel. It's the first word of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's the same word Jesus said. Same word John the Baptist said. It's the same word Peter said. It's the same word Paul said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sins and you shall be saved. Repent. Metanoia. Change your mind about what you think between you and God. I don't want to hear that. That's your problem. It doesn't change the Bible. Repent of the way that you change the way you think. It can happen in a second. It's your choice. Change your mind. Jesus says, change your mind and remission. You know, that this is sad because our culture is so far from God, it's almost illegal to talk about remission. It's to admit that you need your life fixed. We are an enabling generation. You don't have to stop. You don't have to stop doing that. You can keep doing that. I just love swallowing razor blades. You can do, if you want to do that, you can do that. You know what? I just, is that what you feel? You can do that. What is wrong with us? The word remission says, stop it. The word remission says, are you destroying your life? Yes, I'm destroying my life. Then stop it. And here's how. Change your mind about Jesus. That's how you fix it? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the strength to fix your life. He does. And remission is, I agree. It's, I agree with God. I need fixing. But no, no, no. We can't preach the gospel. We can't announce prayer in city council in Jesus' name if we live in Lancaster. So if you say that, you know what, this situation is going on in your life, you should only sleep with your wife. Imagine. Well, I have a hard time, you know. Stop it. Right? Stop it. Go home. Bring your wife in. Marriage counseling. Come on. Oh, no, you can't quench his. You see where we live? No wonder why people don't want the gospel. And yet it's the very thing they need. Gospel? No. Everything else? Yes. It's a heartbreak. You say, Jack, why are you so lit up about this? Because I love people. That's why God called me to do what I'm doing. I don't often sound like I guess I love you when I tell you, don't do that. But you know what? It's because I love you. If I didn't care, believe me, if I didn't care, I'd be in Honolulu right now. Trust me. If a human can care, how much more does God care? And there's things that hurt and destroy our lives. There's a purpose. And then it's this, and we end right here, right now. Results in our life's message. This is cool. Get out your pen if you haven't written anything down yet. Verse 48. Jesus said, and you are witnesses of these things. Do you know what this means? The word martis is the word witness. It means you have been a judicial witness. You've seen the data. You've seen the evidence. You put your brain, it means to put your thoughts and what's happened together in perfect unity. In perfect unity. I saw what happened. I read all about it. And this is what I've concluded. Jesus said, you're witnesses. It means to testify, to give testimony. It means to bear record of the facts. It means to present the evidence and to explain in your experience regarding the facts. I give testimony. This is tremendous. It results in a message, my friends, that we do not need to be ashamed of. We need to be bold and empowered like never before. We need to let people know. And here's the wonderful thing. Jesus is saying, you are witnesses of these things. And in that announcement, it's almost as though he's asking us to raise our hand and to swear an oath. And that is, I now know this to be true. And Jesus said, good, take it. Next week, we end Luke's gospel with him saying, take it. Take it to the world. Take it to the ends. And here's the fun part. We're all done. Next week, we're going to hear about all those in that room. That room right now, they're all going to go home. They're going to go back home. All the women are going to go back to their homes. The family, the couple from Emmaus, they're going to go home. Peter's going to go home, back up to the Galilee. They're all going to go home. It's when they go home that the whole thing happens. Listen, they take the reality. They have their experiences based in truth, their reason, their faith. There's no contradiction. There's no hypocrisy. And they take what they have learned and they believe it, and it changes the world. That's what God wants us to do today. So you come next week with your boots on and gloves on and get ready. Because he's going to say, now look, this is what I need you to do. It is so great. I'm so happy with you to be living for and willing to die for that which is eternal.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called With Hearts on Fire. A look at part of Luke chapter 24, which demonstrates the physical, bodily resurrection of the Messiah. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this means that we're in the home stretch of completing our journey through this fascinating scriptural account. If you'd like to hear the series in its entirety, well, we're making it available on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. That's 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack covering every verse. It's truly a great way to understand how the Messianic era began and about the earthly ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. Again, that's the entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for a cost of $30. More than one way to order yours, starting with paying a quick and easy visit to realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and just click the banner that says simply The Gospel of Luke. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.